acting nuts. You said no. And you're like, which room should I disappear to? But then the problem is what do? Yeah, they follow you, right? So this morning, we're getting ready to talk about peace. So around your tables, you were talking about de-stressing. We talked about peace earlier. Peace is great in the way you were just thinking about it. But my challenge to you today is stop, put away that definition, and let's start thinking about peace in a little bit different realm, a little bit different definition, a little different understanding, because the peace that we were talking about earlier, you know, I was over here talking with a couple, and they're talking about going up north. Did you get to stay up north forever? No, right? Out in the woods hunting. Did you get to stay in the woods forever? You want to, but did you? No. And it's all peaceful until that squirrel starts to come in. It sounds like it's a giant elephant, right? For me, sitting on the beach staring at the waves, 6, 7, 8 hours of it feels like forever, but it's really not. Because at some point my stomach says, feed me. And then I have to get back into the chaos of everything, get dressed, get back out to the wherever we're going to eat, stand in line forever, starve to death in the meantime, because I look like I'm starving to death, right? This is how we need to change what we view as peace, okay? So 3 weeks ago, we kicked off our new sermon series here. New year, new, right, you got it. The entire series centers around Galatians, as we read, chapter 5, verses 16 to 25, with our primary focus being on verses 22 and 23, commonly referred to as the fruit of the... Nice job. You guys are listening. I love it. Pastor Don started us off teaching about how we can experience a significant change if we will put away our flesh. Just put it aside and let the Spirit come alive inside of us. The following week, Jeff Burpee followed up with, what's he always famous for?
Love.
Jeff, thank you so much, right? Learning to love like God requires us to make a choice, practice it daily, and invite the Holy Spirit to transform us. Our love best shown through action, just like Jesus demonstrated to us. Last week, we learned about joy. Well, yeah, that wasn't very joyful. Let's try again. Last week, we learned about
joy.
There we are. That's what I'm talking about, from Pastor GJ. And we learned that our joy is not found in circumstances or things, but in a relationship with God. And we also learned this catchy little phrase that he had here. We have a choice to rejoice. Nice work, guys. Today, it's all about peace. Again, not the peace that we find in the world, but the biblical peace that we can have and where we can find it. We're going to get ready to put some images up here on the screen. And I don't know about you, but if you've been paying attention in the news lately, the last several months, it doesn't feel like we have been living in a very peaceful time. There's a lot going on. We have an image like this, here, and there. Images like these show there is clearly a divide among us. And when we're divided, there's conflict and chaos. And when we look at these images, there are two sides to every image. And it really just depends on which lens we're looking through as to whether or not we see that conflict and chaos or whether or not we see peace. And unfortunately, we live in a world where images like these, they're plastered on every screen known to man. TVs, phones, computers. Every news channel airs them. Now even sports channels want to talk about it. And if you watch any current TV shows, they always seem to weave that thread into the message. They bring these topics into our lives and into our homes, oftentimes disrupting our peace. But short of living on a deserted island, like our old friend Gilligan, okay? And even then, Gilligan had this guy with him trapped on this island named the Professor. Might be the smartest guy ever, right? He was even able to get a radio going. So did he even really escape? I'm not sure we ever can escape what's going on. We live in a day and age when information and technology is everywhere. And it's not just going on here in America, but across the world. And I'm not going to get into the debate, okay? I don't want to do this. This is not my point today. We're not going to debate what constitute peaceful or violent protests or about what is right or wrong. I show these images because I want you guys to get this gut reaction, this visceral reaction, the kind that happens here that when you see things and you're like, oh, I really like it, or oh, I really don't like it. Okay? Not an image from here, an image here in your gut, much deeper. You see, the world wants us to find little small victories at any given moment as peace. But God wants us to have it all the time. So again, we must learn to change our definition if we're ever going to find the kind of peace that He wants us to have. And that's a long-lasting peace, not a little bitty piece of it. Okay? Otherwise, we're going to stay in this cycle where we have peace on one end and conflict on another. And we literally go back and forth between them, over and over and over. Stop and think about your own personal life. I've been there. It's not fun, but I've been there. Wouldn't it be nice to change that? To have something different? So again, we got to start thinking by a different definition. But you want some comforting news? Comforting news in a twisted kind of way? We're not alone. This has been going on for over 4,000 years. Over 4,000 years. This is not a one-off for February of 2026 where we're cycling between peace and conflict or peace and chaos. Well over 4,000 years. And it goes all the way back if you flip this to the first book in Genesis. And it starts with a story of a man and a woman named Adam and Eve. And they ruined their relationship with God. This one event, one single event, changed everything that humankind was meant to be. Adam and Eve no longer wanted God. They wanted to be their own gods with a little tiny g. They wanted to have the same knowledge, the same authority, and the same power as Him. And it all began with one lie. One lie. It's where it all started. And that one lie changed the lens that they saw the world through. And not only did it change the lens that they saw the world through, today it's still affecting the lens we see it through. So until we stop living by the peace that the world wants to sell us, and I mean that, what they sell us, and start living by the peace that God wants to give us, we're never going to find what we're looking for. We may find moments, little small snippets, those victories that the world wants us to have. We're never going to find that long-lasting peace until we can find Him. So the word peace gets tossed around a lot. A lot. There's a constant push for peace everywhere around the world. Ukraine and Russia, peace in Venezuela, peace on the streets of America, and the most famous, peace in the middle. How many years have we heard this now? Thousands? I'm sure CNN probably reported on it like 400 years ago. It's crazy. See, the problem is, in as much as people talk about it, they just don't know how to find it. They don't know how to find it. They tend to rely on their own power and their own strength to achieve or force peace, all while leaving a big trail of destruction in their path. Do we truly find peace if we're leaving destruction behind us? I would argue no. So what exactly is biblical peace? And how do we define it? In looking this up, man, you can find a million definitions on the internet. It's a beauty. If you're looking for information, there it is. But we got to find a definition that finds our biblical definition here. And our biblical definition of peace is this. Peace is more than the absence of conflict. It is a deep sense of wholeness, harmony, and spiritual well-being found only in our relationship with God. So the last month or so, Pastor Don has been doing these hand movement things to help us get to remember this. We're going to do one of these today. Bear with me. This is not my game, but I'm going to try, okay? So here it is. We're going to do it here. I'll show you guys. Give you some time to practice it. We'll come back and do it again. You ready? So, peace is more than conflict. And you can do conflict one of two ways. We're going to put our dukes up. We're going to fight it, right? Or you can do conflict like this. Okay? It's more than an absence of conflict. There's a deep sense of wholeness. Take your arms, put them all the way out. As far as you can get it, you want all of it. Wholeness, right? And it's a harmony. So once we find our wholeness, we're going to bring it back together. There's a harmony for it. And then it's the spiritual well-being found in God. We'll raise our hands. Now, if you're like me, and probably Jeff, that shoulder couldn't go up quite as far as it used to, okay? Probably a lot of us guys in here got this issue. So if you're like this, I won't make fun of you. But try to get them all the way up, okay? So let's practice it again. Conflict, wholeness, we have a harmony, and then we have God, right? Our spiritual well-being found only in God. So around your tables, I want you to take a few moments here, share with each other, practice this, and I want to see some movement, okay? Take a few. You got like 30 seconds to a minute. All right. I'm seeing the movement slow down, and I'm hearing the chatter go up, so let's jump back in. All right. How many guys in here and gals in here have had shoulder surgery? How many of you need shoulder surgery? Okay. I'm sorry. We should have warmed up. We should have done small circles and then larger circles, right? We should have warmed up. I apologize. Okay, let's get back to it. One more time. You ready? An absence of conflict, a wholeness, a harmony, spiritual well-being found only in God, right? Only in our relationship with Him. So now that we got that down, what does the Bible say about the subject of peace? There are three things in my reading that I felt really stood out to me in the Scriptures here, okay? First thing we're going to get into is that God is peace. Say it again. God is peace. Let's begin where it all starts. It all has to start with Him, God. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament refer to God as the source of all things. This includes peace, okay? If you're keeping track, this includes peace. All things, peace falls under. By His very nature, God is characterized by His ability to remain constant. He doesn't change. He does not waver. And even in the middle of storms, God is steady. God's very character of peace is organized and thought out. His plans, clear back in Genesis, were of order, not disorder. One day at a time, in perfect harmony and goodness. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, "For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Chaos and conflict are contrary to who He is. There's no doubt about it." Other times in Scripture, He is referred to as the God of peace. In Judges chapter 6, verse 24, Gideon builds an altar to the Lord, and there he called it, "The Lord is peace." Jehovah Shalom. Now, some of you just kind of popped in your head because a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago now, Pastor Don gave a message on what word? Shalom. And for several weeks after, there were a lot of you running around here going, "Shalom, shalom, shalom." I've not heard as much shalom, so we must not be as peaceful lately. You know? So, say a little more shalom, will you? So Jehovah means God. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. Jehovah Shalom, as Gideon names the altar. Same goes for God's Son. Same goes for His Son. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. Now, I don't know about you, but you can't be the prince if your dad is not the... Okay? That's where it all starts. God is the King of Peace. He is peace. And you can see that the Bible clearly points out that He is our true source of peace. Nothing that the world can provide us is to replace Him. Man was created in His image, the image of God. And with that image comes a desire for the same kind of peace God has. The second thing that stood out to me, God gives us peace. God gives us peace. I like cherry pie. That's a good peace I would like God to provide me. Not fruitcake. Not fruitcake. There are piece of pizza, a good slice of pizza, is something I would like God to provide me, but it's probably not the peace that we should be talking about, right? You see here, the beautiful part about God isn't that he's just God. I mean, that is great all in itself. But the beautiful part of it is he wants to give it to you and I. He wants to share it with us. This is not something that he holds on to so tightly that he's afraid to give it away. This is not. Think about your one special possession that you have that you would never give to anybody else. Think about it. Do you have one? What is the one thing you'd never give away? One thing that means that much to you. Got it? Now I want you to give it away. I want you to give it away. And I want you to give it away happy and willingly and joyfully and lovingly. Give it away. And I want you to give it away to the point that you are so happy about giving it away that you are excited to the person you're giving it to. That's God. That's God. He wants to willingly give it to us. He wants us to have that experience. He created us in his image so that he could give things like that to us. Peace is what he wants to give us. And by giving it to us, we form a relationship. And that's what he wants from us in return, is the relationship. He created us to be in a peaceful relationship with him. And when we seek God and place our faith and trust in his son, Jesus Christ, we can restore that broken relationship that started clear back in the garden with him. We can restore that relationship. And when we restore that relationship, it brings us back to peace. I'm sure there are people in this room who have had a parent or a sibling or a close family member that you've just had to walk away from for whatever reason. You just walk away from them because things are not peaceful. They're chaotic. There's always conflict. And it hurts. What happens when that relationship gets restored eventually? Does it change things? It feels much better. And if you've never had one restored, I apologize for assuming that maybe someday it will, but I hope God will someday fix that for you. But I can tell you, as somebody standing here who had one of those relationships, the feeling you get from that relationship being fixed and brought back to health is amazing. It is unlike anything you will ever experience. So don't give up. Don't give up. Give it to God. Let him handle it. But just like other people, God wants that same and from us. He wants us to restore that relationship with him, okay? Romans 5:1, chapter 5, verse 1. Says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in him, we get his peace. He wants us to be at peace with him. Again, the ruined version of us is not what he intended for us. The story could have ended there. God could have just been done again. I'm done. But he didn't. He took that one prized possession that he had and he said, it's yours. Do you want it? It's yours if you want it. And that was his son. His one prized possession, and he was willing to give it to us so that we could feel his peace. And when we do finally feel his peace and we decide to give ourselves back over to God, this happens. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Will guard your hearts and your minds. Not only do you get the peace from Him, but He's going to protect you from the chaos and conflict of this world. It's not just a gift of wholeness. Wholeness is great, but think of it like a shield. Okay? We're standing here. There's a shield. There's a bubble that goes all the way around me. He is willing to put that around me and protect my heart and my head from everything else going on in the world. The arrows are going to get slung, the shots are going to get fired, and He's going to be there to take it from us. The book of Mark, chapter 4, all the way to the very, very back of it. This is a story I've known, it's a story I've read 100 times, but the reality is it was a story that showed up 2 weeks ago in some Bible reading that I was doing, and to me, this is a full explanation of the peace, and I hope it comes across to you guys, the peace that Jesus has as the Son of God, okay? We're not going to read specific verses. I will give you the NCV, the Nick's Condensed Version of this, okay? So at the end of the chapter 4, there is a, in my Bible, it's labeled as Jesus calms the storm, okay? Fishermen, right? In a boat. So Jesus and His disciples had just finished a really long day on shore, a really long day meeting with people, spreading the gospel, healing, eating, all of this stuff. And I don't know about you, but after a really long day, I tend to sleep really good. I remember being on a mission trip one time, and these people were complaining about not sleeping well that first night and the second night. So the third morning, we're sitting at breakfast, and I had these ladies come over to me, and they're like, "So, could we get some softer mattresses? We're not sleeping so well. Maybe some extra pillows." And I said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix this because you're going to sleep like a log tonight." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, you got some new stuff?" And I'm like, "Nope, we're going to switch work teams." So we switched work teams up, and they carried buckets of cement, 5-gallon buckets of cement. You know who slept really good that night? The ladies who needed new mattresses. Everything was comfortable at that point, okay? You work really hard, you'll sleep really, really well. Anyways, back to the story. So they've just spent this whole time on shore working really, really hard, and Jesus gets the guys together, the disciples, and He says, "Hey, we're going to go back across the Sea of Galilee, make port over there, and we got some work to do over there for tomorrow, so it's nighttime, let's get in the boat and go." Everybody loads up into the boat, kind of like the picture here. Here's the crazy part, though. Jesus goes to the back. Doesn't get a pillow, probably gets a blanket, piece of cloth, lays down in the back of the boat. Clearly, Jesus doesn't get seasick, okay? But He gets in the back of the boat. The guys kick offshore. They get out onto the ocean, out in the Sea of Galilee. For those of you who don't know, storms can pop up just like that on the Sea of Galilee. Big storm comes in. Waves crashing over the side of the boat. Wind kicking up. The guys can't control it. They're struggling to make it go forward. One guy's probably got his little cup out there, bailing the water. They're really struggling here. They're panicked. These guys grew up on the water, most of them. They know what this is like, but they're panicked right now. And they are panicked to a point that they go wake Jesus up. He's sleeping in the back of the boat. They go wake Him up. "Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown?" And He doesn't answer them. He gets up, calms the waves, looks at them and said, "Do you have no faith? Do you have no faith?" And in that moment, all it took was faith. And you're like, "Nick, you're talking about peace. Why are you speaking about faith?" No, I'm talking about peace here. Because what kind of peace does Jesus Christ have to be sleeping in the back of the boat going through this? What kind of peace? You think he thought he was going to drown? Why? He had trust in his dad, right? He had faith in his dad. His dad would get him there. If he was meant to die, whatever happened, happened. But the reality is he wasn't worried about it. That guy was calm, cool, and collected. And he stood up, calmed the waters, calmed the wind. The guys were amazed. And he said all it took was faith. His faith provided him the peace he needed to sleep in the back of the boat in the middle of a storm. I want that kind of peace. I can't even sleep in the car hardly when I'm with my wife on a trip because she drives like a crazy woman. Did I say that out loud? But that's the kind of peace we want, right? We want the kind of peace we can sleep in the back of the boat in the middle of a storm and not have to fret about it or worry about it. Okay? And the best part is he wants us to have that kind of peace. He wants to share it with us, but in order for it to happen, we got to come to him. We got to put our faith in him. Four words. He is the answer. There it is. He is peace. He gives us peace. He's the answer. But all too often, we become our own worst enemy. And just like Adam and Eve in the garden, we don't listen and we make bad things worse when we try to do it ourselves. We make bad things worse. This describes my life perfectly before I found him. I was really good at making bad things worse. Numbers chapter 6, verse 26. So this is a priestly blessing that we read about here. In verse 26, it says, "The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." He will turn his face toward you and give you peace. You ever walk past somebody and get a smile? How's that make you feel? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? Makes you feel a lot better than you walk past somebody and they give you a frown or that weird look like you got something on your shirt or something, right? That smile is good. So God wants to turn his face toward you. He wants toward you. He wants to turn it toward you so you can feel it. And then he's going to give you peace. Among other things that he promised in that blessing, and it ends with give you peace, is he doesn't say, "And I will send you peace from somewhere else," or "I will provide you with a peace through this or through that thing." No, it says he'll come directly from him. So just as we have learned in the last couple of weeks, God is our source of love. God is our source of joy. Where is our source of peace? God, right? So now that he's given it to us, what do we do with it? And this is the third thing that stood out to me in Scripture, is that God commands us to be peacemakers. Now, a couple weeks ago, we had a deep, deep conversation, and I'm going to recap it real quick about knowledge and wisdom. You guys remember this conversation? Knowledge being a bunch of information. So when we gain knowledge, we just collect a whole bunch of data, a whole bunch of wisdom, a whole bunch of input. Wisdom is what do we do with it? Knowledge is knowing that the hot fence outside the barn is hot. Wisdom is knowing not to grab hold of it unless you hold your brother. Right? Peace is that same way. Peace can be viewed through that same lens, that similar lens here. We've got it. Now what do we do with it? We know he's going to give it to us, but it's not enough to just hold on to it and live in our own little peace bubble. We have to do something with it. So we must willingly receive it and then live it out. And God challenges us to be peacemakers in a world full of conflict and chaos. In the book of Matthew, we are referred to as the light of the world. That is a challenge to be different than what we see when we look around us. Psalm chapter 34, verse 14 says, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Seek peace and pursue it. To seek something is an action. To pursue it, an even harder action. For those of you that are married or dating, first time you saw your significant other, you're like, I think I like that one. And then you decided to seek it. You got to figure out what her or his name was, right? That's to seek it. But then to have the courage to actually go up to that person and interact with them and ask them out, that's the pursuit. The pursuit changes that. Okay? That's what we're called to do, is to pursue it. If we have placed our faith in him, he'll help us to decipher between what the world sells and what he desires for us. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." God knows that taking his peace to the world is not going to be easy for us. He knows that. He knows that there are going to be times where we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. And then there are times where we're going to be tempted. And just some days, there are going to be times where we just want to throw in the towel. Been there in life? Just want to throw it in some days. It'd be a whole lot easier for the short term. But is that going to provide you with long-lasting peace? Probably not. So having received his peace, we're no longer bound by the definition the world gives, but instead commanded to follow his word. And I found this quote, and it sums it up absolutely beautifully to me. And it's from an anonymous source. It says, "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God no matter what the conflict." Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God no matter what the conflict. It is his presence that gives us the power to find true peace in a dark world, to be the change that he has called us to be. So what drives us to seek peace? What drives us to find that peace? Well, for each of us, there are obstacles that we face that create chaos and conflict in our lives. Some of them happen daily. Some of them happen occasionally or intermittently. These obstacles create the same dynamic that we see when we swing from peace to conflict. Peace to conflict. Think about your lives. We all feel it. And we must come to the realization that without God, we'll never find true peace. It's not something we can work to achieve. It's a gift that's freely given after we put our faith in Him. And that keeping our feet firmly planted in this world, we'll never experience it. We'll never experience the peace that He wants to talk about. It'll never feel whole or in harmony with God. So let's talk about a few of the obstacles that drive us to find peace. And we're just going to briefly touch on these. The first one, worry. You got any worry warts in here? Few? That's fair. It's very fair. Worry is the stress of things that could or might happen in the future. Second one, fear. We got any fear mongers in here? We got a few, don't we? Fear is the stress of things that are happening now. So worry happens in the future. Fear happens now. We'll get this one. You ready? Number three, conflict. We got any conflict creators in here? Wow, that hand went up fast. I'm going to see you after the service. Okay. Knowing that God is our only true source of peace, we got to have the relationship if we want to overcome worry, fear, and conflict. Last night, real quick, I'm going to tell a story real quick. Last night, my wife and I and some friends and our youngest boy, Braylon, went to a rodeo in Battle Creek. Anybody else go to the rodeo in Battle Creek this weekend? Good, so I can tell all kinds of stories you guys would never know. Okay, in this rodeo, by the way, Christian organization, fantastic guy, younger guy, did a great job last night. That place was packed. They sold out two nights in a row at the Kellogg Arena. So, to start the rodeo off, they make some introductions, they go out, and they light this fire in the middle of the ring. It's a circle, probably 20, 25 feet in diameter. And they bring out 9, 10. I think they're originally supposed to be 12. There's a couple of guys that bailed out for injury. Maybe they were really injured, but I wouldn't want to do this either. But they line up on the circle. And there are two rules. They're about to turn something loose in the ring, and you got to stay in the circle. If you leave the circle, you're out. And you can leave the circle for three reasons. Number one, you just want to leave the circle. Number two, because the bull knocks you out of it. Or number three, because your buddy threw you out of it. So not only do you have to worry about this bull that probably weighs 1,200, 1,500 pounds, now you got to worry about your buddy, okay? So, yeah, Paul's all in on this, okay? They have protection on, yada, yada, yada. Worry, you ready for this? We're going to see our three here. Worry was the guys lined up on the circle before the bull came out. That's the future. Am I going to be the one to get stuck with this thing? Okay. Fear is what happened as the bull enters the circle. And the bull doesn't just walk up like this, okay? The bull comes barreling out like somebody shot him out of a cannon. That's fear. That's immediate. That is in the present. And then the conflict starts. Because I'm going to grab Jeff and throw him out of the ring, because I want to win the prize. And I have no idea what the prize was. It could have been a dollar. I don't even know. Last night, watching the start of that rodeo, those three things, those three obstacles we deal with in our life became very real. The worry of what's to come, the fear of what's happening now, and the conflict we have in our lives with others. Okay? So what are some practical things we can do to find true biblical peace? Three things. First one, we can seek a relationship with God, the God of peace. This happens one of two ways. You either need to start a relationship with God or you need to strengthen your relationship with God. And the good news is, I'm going to tell you how to do both today. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, this is your opportunity. Last week, Pastor GJ, if you were here, showed these little tiny booklets. Actually, I think he panicked before he showed these little tiny booklets. Okay? Again today, I want to talk about this little tiny booklet. This little tiny booklet is titled Knowing God Personally. This, in the most simplest language ever, explains why you need a relationship with our Lord and Savior and why He is ready for you right where you are. Don't got to get dressed up. Don't got to solve all your problems first. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't got to look pretty. He'll meet you right here, right where you're sitting at your table today, if that's what you want to do. Last week, I bet there are a few of you who don't know where you stand with God. And he talked about these little booklets. Pastor GJ did, okay? And I bet a day or two later, a few of you were like, man, I should have took that opportunity. Because I think I might want to know something, and I didn't. Today's your lucky chance. God said, I heard you, and I'm going to give you a second chance at it. So Nick's going to talk about it today. If you were one of those people last week who don't have a relationship with God, and you want to know more about building that relationship, I got these for you. Come find me. A whole pocket full of them. I can get more if I need. We can talk about it. I can share it with you. And if you were one of the people who had that chance last week and decided, I don't think God's ready for me, He's ready. He was ready yesterday for you, and maybe the week before that, but He's patient, and He wants you to come on your own terms to Him. Come find Him, and I will help you. Okay? And I promise you, starting that relationship with Him, life-altering. Life-altering. The peace of starting that relationship with God will transform you into a new person. For those of you who already have a relationship with God, your job is to strengthen it. We can do that a lot of different ways. We can talk about mentoring. We can talk about building relationships with somebody you're going to meet with. Learn to grow spiritually, reading scripture. We can talk about Bible reading plans. But today, what I really want to do is let you know that in a couple weeks, we're getting ready to kick off our next round of Here's Grace classes. For those of you who don't know, Here's Grace. I'm sorry, not Here's Grace. Holy cow. Our next round of Grace University classes, Lisa's laughing at me, our next round of Grace University classes, they kick off that first week in March. Grace University are small little six-week classes, usually an hour or so, once a week, where you learn to grow deeper in your faith. Many, many different areas. This is not just a Bible study. This is about you finding a specific area in your faith that you want to grow deeper and taking that class and learning how to do it. Whether it's building a relationship just with God, whether it's learning to build relationships with others through God, whether it's learning about the history of the Bible, whether it's learning about how to manage your finances, whether it's learning about making a better marriage or handling your children, we have classes, lots of them. And they happen on a rotational basis. Our next cycle kicks off here the first part of March. My challenge to you is if you have a relationship with Him, find a time. Take a class. I promise you, I have not taken a class yet where I walked away and thought, Well, that was a waste. That's not what God does. He brings you opportunities like this so that you can grow with Him. So I challenge you, find a class. It's worth the time. Second practical thing we can do is we can seek forgiveness for yourself and for others. The only real way to find biblical peace is through forgiveness. True forgiveness is when you confess your sins to God and let Him take care of the rest. This is a hard thing to do for a lot of people. It's a hard thing to do to give somebody else the power and authority in your life to handle your mess and let them clean it up. It's not easy, but I promise you it's worth it. And if you want to find true biblical peace, you got to let God do it, because He's the only one that can. And when our sin has damaged the relationship between us and God, we must take every step to reconcile that. And when we talk about that reconciliation, that forgiveness, I want to give you a three-step process for that, okay? First thing you got to do, you got to admit there's a problem. Anytime you want to fix something, you have to admit something was broke. So you have to admit there is a problem. You want a secret? That problem's usually you. But there's a problem, and we have to admit it. Okay? Second step. You've got to bring yourself to God. Offer prayer and release the sin in your life. This is where we turn it over. We just turn it over to Him. He can fix it. He can. And then the last thing we have to do is you got to keep your focus on Him going into the future and not the sin of the past. You've been reconciled if you have that relationship with Him. You get in your car, you turn it on, you mess with all the knobs and dials. And if you're a good driver, if your wife has been in your seat before you, you adjust the seat. And then you adjust what? The mirrors. This mirror up here looks where? Behind you. You guys know the singer Jelly Roll? Okay, country singer. He's been quite vocal lately about his faith. You know, one of his songs, Son of a Sinner, he talks about taking that old mirror off that Ford, that rearview mirror off the Ford, so we can't see what's going on back there. It's okay to do that. God's got you going forward. Quit looking in the back. We don't have to do it anymore. The third practical thing we can do is live as a peacemaker. We talked a little bit about peacemaking earlier. For some of us, it's a hard one. We have some people in this room, and I know this to be fact, who just like to poke the bear. I'm not naming any names, but I think there are some people in this room, I'm pretty confident, that like to poke the bear, no matter the outcome. So let me give you a few tips here. To be a peacemaker, number one, avoid social media if you aren't mature enough to read something and move on without responding. When you signed up for Facebook, nowhere on there does it say you have to comment on everybody's things you don't like. Move on. Second thing, be a listener long before you speak. We have two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. I'm not always great at that, because I'm a guy and I like to fix things. That's what I get, so I tell everybody. I got to learn to listen long before I talk. And it's okay for other people to have opinions that are different from you. And rather than dismissing their views immediately or even before you hear them, you might actually learn something. And if you don't learn anything new, you might actually learn something about that person. Something you didn't know about them. And the third thing, you got to learn to thank God during the good times and the bad times if you want to be a peacemaker. And you trust that He will help resolve any issues with Him. And you got to trust that He will use you to resolve the issues you have with others. Okay? So as we close today, let's go over this hand gesture thing one more time. You ready? Peace is the absence of conflict, a wholeness that brings us to harmony, and a spiritual well-being with God. Stretch that arm. Come on, get it up there. Way up there. There we go. Get it way. Yep, there we go. Okay. So as we close today, we got this whole hand motion thing. You can use that in the morning when you get out of bed to get yourself ready to go. Remember, no conflict today. Some wholeness, some harmony, some stretch to God. Remember, He is a God of peace, and He desires a relationship with you. God gives us peace, and He wants us to see forgiveness for ourselves and others. And then God commands us to be peacemakers, and we're to live as such. Not just with Him, but with others. All right, so let's close in a prayer real quick. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank You for everybody who was here today. I want to say thank You for the people who heard our message. But God, I want You to encourage the people who heard this message today to not just hear it, but to live it out. Lord, help them find a relationship with You or strengthen that relationship with You. Lord, help them to resolve conflict with others. Lord, help them to not worry and fear about the things that are going on or will or possibly could go on in their lives. Lord, keep our face toward You. Help us turn to You. Help us to seek You and desire You. Help us to stay on Your course and not be swayed by what's going on in the world around us. Help us to be that light and that peace in the storms that we see daily. Lord, we ask all this in Your name.